Privacy advocates are concerned about Australian police reportedly ordering phone providers to give personal information about thousands of mobile phone users, whether they're being investigated or not. It's called the tower dump. So what happens is they collect data like the identity and the location of any phone that connects to targeted towers over a certain time period. And it might be able to help catch criminals. But what happens once an investigation's complete? Do they destroy the details? Are they still kept on file? There's a similar sort of thing in the US as it happens. It turns out the messages of more than 10,000 people who were not targeted by the National Security Agency were still catalogued and recorded. To talk about these concerns, I'm delighted to be joined in the studio by Matt Beard, who's an ethicist from the University of Notre Dame, Australia, who's at a philosophers' conference where it just must be going off. Matt, thanks very much for
joining us. It is going off indeed, but it's nice to take a break and be here while eating.
Oh, you can't keep up the pace with those philosophers' conferences.
It's dangerous stuff.
It really is. What do you make of these privacy concerns?
So I think this is part of an ongoing conversation that we're having as surveillance turns into the online space. And the Snowden revelations were the big catalyst for this, and PRISM, and learning that the US government and the NSA were collecting large amounts of what's called metadata, which is literally the information about the information.
It's the envelope rather than the letter.
Exactly. It's the contents that we can learn the nature of the information without knowing the exact content. So we know where a text message was sent from and who sent it, but we don't know what it actually says. And what does this say about privacy, and what does this say about how important privacy and liberty is for people? So it's part of a much broader conversation that we're beginning to see emerging in this situation.
Can you actually, you're a philosopher, so I want to ask you a philosophical question about
this.
What is the philosophical basis or justification of privacy? Why do we have it? Because it seems we are increasingly happy to compromise it. Some people get upset about it. But broadly speaking, we sign up to Facebook and give over all sorts of stuff, and we do it without a second thought.
Sure, we do it without a second thought, and this is probably indicative of the fact that privacy is becoming less and less concerning as we move into the online space, because our identities are kind of extending into this online space, which is publicly accessible. In a sense, as we get more and more isolated in these devices, we're becoming more and more communal as well, so our identity is moving. But the reason privacy matters is because freedom and liberty matter, and these two things are intimately related. The more that people know about us, and the more that they can learn about us and our private information, not on our terms, but on their own terms whenever they're able to, the more they're able to control us, the more they're able to influence us in particular ways. So the debate about privacy is, in a larger sense, a debate about freedom and civil freedoms.
But flesh that out for us, because the classic answer to all of this is, I've got nothing to fear, I've got no secrets, if I haven't done anything wrong, I shouldn't be upset about you knowing anything particularly. So how does it compromise my freedom if I've got nothing to fear?
So the counter to the if you've done nothing wrong, you've got nothing to fear is what we saw in the fallout after the Arab Springs, which was to say that if you've got something to fear, you've got reason to hide. Once people have access to this information, once people know something about things that you've done, it's their judgment that matters as to whether you've done something wrong, not your own. So, for instance, political dissidents, which seems to us in a Western democracy to be a perfectly valid thing to do, but suddenly in the wrong hands, if that information is available to everybody, that can be used for really nefarious ends.
Let's go to the US situation. Incidental collection.
Sure.
So what was it? What did I say before? 10,000 people were not being targeted.
So the interesting thing about this is that it seems that these are cases where the metadata has been collected. And what happens once we've collected this huge amount of metadata is that there are certain algorithms that are run through it before a human ever lays eyes on it. So people have this image of people sifting through our Gmail accounts and trying to work out whether we're sending nefarious emails or not. And that's not what goes on. Wouldn't it be rotten? But the reality is that there's a number of different algorithms which we don't understand, and this is part of the issue. We don't have enough transparency as to what people are looking for. But once that's happened, then certain flags pop up and they say, okay, someone needs to look at this. And what seems to have come up in the revelations that have gone on is that these flags are probably still casting the net a little bit too wide, and information that is clearly not relevant to tracking down people who are being targeted by these investigations is still popping up. So of 35 people participating in an online chat room, if one of those people is a target, then suddenly everyone's information is available for human eyes.
Right. Available?
Available meaning present on a screen for an actual security analyst working for the National Security Agency to look at.
Yes, but what level of concern is it appropriate for us to have about that? Because as you say, so much of this sifting isn't done by human beings. It's done automatically. So at what point is the human intervention and the susceptibility, I suppose, to having your freedom and liberty trampled, as per the discussion we were having before?
This is a really interesting question. And the bottom line is that there's no consensus here. Some people, and this is a conversation that we've been having, obviously, at a philosophy conference all day, but some people are willing to say that, look, you know, until someone takes that information and uses it against me in some way, maybe there's no issue here. Maybe I don't know whether someone knows about private emails that I've sent, and the fact that I don't know kind of insulates me from any harm.
Well, surely the issue is the potential that that day might arrive.
Yeah, so that is one of the issues, but there are other people who will say that the mere fact that someone is reading information about you that you haven't given them permission to look at, the mere fact that your information is exposed in that way is sufficient to say that you've been wronged, that something wrong has been done
to
you.
It's a violation.
And that in and of itself is sufficient to say that the government is doing something wrong. And that's the debate, and I think it's up to it's a matter that we need to have more public debate about, is to what extent are we willing to sacrifice liberty and privacy in order to have the type of security that we're looking for and to minimise risk.
Right, but that goes back to how much we value privacy in the first place, which goes back to the philosophical underpinnings of privacy.
Yes.
And the fact that we don't seem to have that public conversation at all.
No. So we talk about privacy as if it's this thing that everyone understands, but, you know, the amount of academic papers that are written that have titles like Five Senses of Privacy, this is not a matter that we have the market fully cornered on. The idea that privacy is, for instance, things that are secret, is privacy things that should be kept anonymous?
Yeah.
What is it that we mean by privacy is still something that we're trying to nut out, and we need to talk more about.
We can't nut it out before the news, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
Because it's upon us in 14 seconds. Port or sherry at the Philosopher's Conference?
Oh, both.
Both?
Yeah, it's wild.
Jeez, public spending's out of control. Matt Beard, ethicist from the University of Notre Dame.
Thanks so much.
News time, 7 o'clock.